you, York. Good morning, everybody. Decided I'm just going to skip the stairs, so I quit hitting the tree. It's good to see everyone today. I see a lot of guests and visitors. We are glad to have you. If there's anything we could do for you, please let us know. Can you all hear me okay? Is it on? Okay. I'm not hearing myself, so that's kind of awkward. Not on? Okay. Well, I'll talk, and if you can't hear me, just kind of wave at me, and I'll go somewhere else. Just so you really can't hear me then. Oh, okay, good start to the morning. One of the things I want to talk to you about today is this statement of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. And I have to tell you that I knew I would be doing this sermon because I told you I'd be doing this sermon weeks and weeks ago as we continue into the I Am statements of Jesus. This is the second one in the series, but the third one that I'm doing. And when I got to this, I realized that I have no clue how I'm going to do this because I have a problem with the way that the text is set up. And I'm going to actually talk about that in a second. So I want you to, and this just sounds different than what I normally do. Well, I still hope you enjoy it. I still hope you learn something from it. But if not, you can just tell me, John Paul, I didn't like it. And I'd be like, okay, well, tough luck. So what's going on in the story? Because, you know, that's a little bit of exposition right there. So let's go all the way to John chapter 7, where this story really begins. So there's this, the Jews are continuing to seek Jesus for the purpose of killing him because they're not really liking that he's upsetting their social order and the fact that he's doing things that they perceive to be a killable offense. I didn't know it was such a bad thing to heal on the Sabbath, but apparently if you do, you're going to get killed. Interesting note, if you ever go to Israel today, on the Sabbath, the elevator goes nonstop to every floor, so you don't have to work to push a button. Interesting. So you can see that they've still kind of taken those things to the extreme. His brothers encourage him to go to the Feast of Booths, which is currently going on in Jerusalem at this time, to show himself to the world. Well, Jesus says, it's not really my time, but really he knows that it's because his brothers don't really believe that he is who he says he is. And frankly, I don't really blame his brothers. If my brother, I love my brother to death, but if my brother came up to me and said, I'm the Son of God, I might say, you know, we should go to this hospital over here to have your head checked out. And so I think it's probably a little hard for his brothers to figure out exactly what it is he's trying to say, which is when Jesus talks about earlier that a prophet is without honor in his hometown, it's because people think they know who you are. Keep that in your mind as we go further into the lesson. So Jesus eventually decides to go to the festival in private, and while he's there, there's some talk about where Jesus is, because you know the Jews are seeking to kill him. And so they're like, well, who is this Jesus person? Well, he's the Son of God. He's a prophet. He's crazy. He's got a demon. Who is this person that claims all these wonderful things and does all these wonderful things? At one point, in the middle of all this, Jesus decides, you know what? I'm not going to be in private anymore. Let's go and make a very public setting. So he goes to the temple and starts to teach. And while he's teaching, one of the things he talks about is his authority and where he comes from. And the crowd's like, again, you're crazy. We don't believe you. You must have a demon. And so Jesus calls out their hypocrisy. And really says, you're mad just because I healed on the Sabbath. So the text says there's more debate about who Jesus is. Some believe, some don't. Some still want to kill him. But nobody, absolutely nobody, lays a hand on him. And this makes the religious leaders very, very mad, who specifically sent these people out to Jesus to arrest him. And so they come back and they accuse the officers of being deceived. And Nicodemus, for the second time in the story, makes an appearance. And he he tries to defend Jesus in a very political matter, and the chief priests ridicule him too. And so most of you probably like, okay, I'm somewhat familiar with that story. Well, most of you probably know exactly what comes next, and that's the story of the adulterous woman. Everyone's really pretty familiar with that story, would you say? I think it's a very highly publicized story in the Bible. And then immediately after that story, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So that's everything that has led up to that story. So let's look on what is going on here. This is a lot of stuff going on, and then we have Jesus' statement, what appears to be because of the adulterous woman story, in a vacuum. So you really have to go all the way back to chapter 7 to learn all about those things I just gave you a very quick overview of to understand what's going on here. And a lot of this has to do with things you know absolutely nothing about because they're things that we don't celebrate at all. There's culture, there's Moses, there's Jesus' relationship with his father, and this story of the adulterous woman. So I want to take some time this morning to talk of, now I can really hear myself, so I guess it's working now, talk about these things. So let's look at each one of these individually. The culture thing first occurs actually at the beginning of the chapter where it says he goes to the feast, but there's something significant that happens in the middle of the chapter, and that is this particular event right here. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is a very significant cultural event. And I say this because you really have to understand what's going on at the Feast of Booths. So let's talk about the Feast of Booths for a second. The Feast of Booths is a festival that the Jews celebrated to honor their time in the wilderness. You know that time they spent 40 years pretending like they were lost? Okay, that joke fell flat. All right. That's why I preach and I'm not a comedian. They spent 40 years in the wilderness and they used this festival to honor that time. Well, there's something significant that happens in their time in the wilderness where they want water. Moses says, stop complaining. God will provide. God, hey, we need water. Okay, take your staff and strike the rock and water will come out. So during this festival, they would take water out of the pool of Siloam and they would dump it over the rock to honor that thing that happened in the wilderness. And so when Jesus is making this illustration about water during the festival, this water that God gave them, he is also saying that he is the same water that God gave them. And so all of this has to go back to the time of Moses. So Moses is, again, here a central point of this festival, because this happened during the time of Moses. And so Jesus is bringing him again back to Moses, and he talks to him about how everything that Moses did, and one of the things he says has to do with circumcision in the law. First off, it wasn't Moses that gave you the law or circumcision. All of these things came from God. And he says, you're basically misunderstanding Moses. And because of that, you are not doing the things you're supposed to be doing. And he says you are basically prejudging them based on appearances. And this comes to a head at the in verse 18 where he says, the one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. So he's basically saying that I can do what I can, not because Moses gave God his power. Or sorry. Yeah, that did not happen. God gave Moses his power just like God gives me my power. And then Jesus spends a lot of time talking about his relationship with God. And this, there's just so much. In fact, I could probably just preach a whole sermon about this one part alone. But I really want to focus on the I Am statement. And so these are some of the things that Jesus talks about by following God's plan. He uses God's time. He uses God's teaching. He uses God's will. He uses God's authority. Haven't you figured it out yet? Everything I do is not because I have a demon, but because of my relationship with God. Because I came from God. Because God is telling me what to do. So how can you, a mere mortal, tell my God that he is wrong? So it obviously, since you don't get that, you don't understand, not only do you not understand me being Jesus, you don't understand God at all. And so then, the story talks about the adulterous woman. This is very, very frustrating for me, and this is probably why I was very frustrated with this lesson, is because when this happens, and this is probably for another lesson, the adulterous woman was not part of this narrative. It was taken later and included into the narrative, and that's why if you look at the bottom of your footnotes, it will say this. And so for today, I want you to understand that this is just an interruption to the story, and not something we're not going to talk about. And then Jesus finally says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have everlasting life. So that is probably about 10 minutes of lots and lots of information that at this point you're probably thinking, John Paul, so what? What does this, any of this have to do with this statement? And this is what I spent all week pondering. What does any of this have to do with this statement? Now I'm going to tell you. So don't worry, I won't let you hang. The first off, it has everything to do with this statement. Absolutely everything, except for the adulterous woman. We're going to ignore that. Culture. So, I told you about that story where Jesus talks about the water and the rock, and how he is the water and the rock. But lesser known is the ceremony of lights. Now, I'm not talking about the Festival of Lights. That's Hanukkah. Different festival. But during the second day, starting the second evening of the Feast of Booths, and continuing to the very end of the feast, they would take four menorahs. That's a menorah, if you don't know. And they would light them to honor the glory of the Lord. And they would have this ritual ceremony where the priest would not only light them, but they would do like this weird dance. And I tried to watch a video of it, but I couldn't even... You don't want me to try to do that. David's shaking his head. He agrees. But this, it's all supposed to come back to this light is the glory of the Lord. So when Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world, during the Feast of the Booths, probably actually during this time, where this, it said it was done on the last day, so this ceremony had already taken place six times, this meaning would not have been lost on them. Wait, God is the light of the world. How can you, Jesus, claim to be the light of the world? Do you remember 2 weeks ago when I talked about Moses? Do you guys remember what I said? I talked about Moses and how he's talking to them about bread and how he gave them bread in the wilderness. Well, he didn't give them bread. God gave them bread in the wilderness. But he wants to connect them to Moses again. He is constantly using Moses to prove his point. So again, Moses is showing by them bringing this reference to Moses, he wants them to think back to that first moment with Moses. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell the people, I am who I am. So this has a double meaning. Not only is he that light, but he is also the I Am. As we see here, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Or, as he said in 12, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is this light. He is that bread. Although there's a second connection to God. Third, so Jesus talks about his relationship with the Father. And this should be the most obvious of the three. Jesus has come from the Father because God sent him. That is very, very clear. If they have not figured it out, but by now they are very obtuse. God made Jesus to be this light, which is why he can take this statement and say, I am the light of the world, and speak from authority. How do we know that is true? Jesus tells them, because there are at least two witnesses. Your law says there needs to be two witnesses. You want to know who the two witnesses are? Me and God. That's how it's true. Are they happy about that? Absolutely not. I'm happy about that. But I'm not a religious leader in 33 AD who is listening to Jesus speak, who's upsetting my world order. Jesus does upset my world order. But I am happy that he is everything he claims to be. If I am a follower, I will be happy. And Jesus even says this, if you are a follower, you will know this to be true. People hate Jesus. Does anybody here in this room hate Jesus? No. Do we know people that hate Jesus? I bet almost everybody in this room knows someone who hates Jesus. People make wrong assumptions about Jesus. Anybody in this room make wrong assumptions about Jesus? I do. All the time. I'm constantly learning more and more about him. People wanted to kill Jesus. Well, now people want to kill his followers. And they all do it because of the things he taught. He upsets their world order. But we have to be better than that. We do, because we are followers of the light. That's why when Jesus says, don't judge by appearances, but judge on righteous judgment, we need to be better than that. We don't judge a book by its cover. Only God is really worthy of judging. But even he says he does not judge. He just comes to teach the truth. And that truth is great. But the most important lesson I could teach you today about the light of the world, we see so much hate in this chapter. There's a lot of hate in this chapter. Not from Jesus, but directed at Jesus. And despite all of this hate, that divine being came to be a light for me, for you, for the people that hate him, for the people that judge, for the people that want to kill. He came to be a light for all of them. And that does upset me. Also, that they can know the truth. And he says later, which we're actually going to come to more next week, that truth will set you free. So there's a lot going on in this lesson, and I don't know how you guys responded to it, but I hope you really learned something today. And one of the things I really want to point out is the Bible has a ton of nuance. There's so much subtlety that as a non-Jewish person, I don't really understand without doing the research. The good news is, you don't need to know any of that. You don't need to know about the Festival of Booths. You don't need to know what the Jews are saying or why they necessarily sought to kill him. The only thing you need to know is that truth that Jesus spoke about. That truth that will set you free. That he is the light. He is the bread. He is a beacon in a world of darkness, of sin. And that truth is for anybody. regardless of who you are, as long as you're willing to accept it. If you would like to accept His light, or if you need the help of the people of the light, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.